From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of February 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. A bit later in the program, the folks up at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana will be here to take up the cash grain market. And Drew Lerner should be along at the end of the program to talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Along the way, we'll hear a podcast I did earlier in the week that has not yet been released on the FarmDoc website. Gary Schnitke, Farm Management Specialist, has some more to talk about with crop insurance. And it all happens during this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. Nearby contract in the March soft red winter wheat pit at $7.63, three quarters of a cent higher. May futures at $7.98 and a quarter, up 2.5. July wheat at $8.31 and a quarter, up 4.75. March corn futures $6.91 and a half, 11.75 higher. May at $7.02 and a quarter, up 12 cents. July $7.07, 12.5 higher. In September at $6.40 and a quarter, up 11. December contract at $5.91 and three quarters, up 9 and a quarter. March soybean futures $13.20, 22 cents higher. May at $13.31 and a half, up 20 and a half. July at $13.40 and a quarter, 21 and a quarter higher. August at $13.28 and three quarters, up 24 and three quarters. And next year's November contract for the harvest month at $12.95 and three quarters, at 21 and a half cents higher. March bean meal at $3.51.80, up $5.30 for the day. The May bean meal at $3.56.10, up $5.40. March soybean oil at $55.02, $103 higher. The May at $55.70, up $108 on the afternoon. Livestock numbers from the Mercantile Exchange finished the February contract at $110.32 and a half cents, but the live cattle up 22 and a half. April at 113.97 and a half, up 32 and a half, and March Peters at 128.85, down 35 cents. April futures at $130.55, down a nickel for the day. April lean hogs at $90.97 and a half cents, up $1.30. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 in Urbana, along with WGFA, WHBO, WKEI, and WTIM. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $97.98 a barrel, up $2.55. May futures at $99.70, up $2.90. Ethanol futures in the trade at $2.47 and a tenth of a cent, up 4 cents. The March natural gas at $3.89 and four tenths, up 2 and 7 tenths. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $2.90 and a tenth of a cent, up a dime for the day and 9 tenths. And the gold futures at $1,413.40 an ounce, up $12.90. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,110. It's just about 101 points lower. And the dollar is down 0.36 at 77.40. The CRB index on the afternoon at 347.89 is up 3.63 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. It's calling now for a mostly cloudy afternoon here in Urbana-Champaign, a high near 40 degrees for the day. And tonight, a 50% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a low of 34, south-southeast winds at 5 to 10 miles an hour. They'll become northwest, and they'll gust as high as 15. Thursday, a 50% chance of rain. Afternoon, cloudy, a high near 45 degrees. North-northwest winds between 5 and 14, gusting as high as 18. On Thursday night, rain and snow likely, becoming all snow after midnight. Cloudy, a low of 29 degrees. North-northeast winds between 14 and 16 miles an hour. They'll gust all the way to 21. Chance of precip on Thursday night is 70%. Friday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 38. North-northeast winds at 8 to 5, 15. They'll gust as high as 18 miles an hour. And Friday night should be mostly cloudy, a low around 23 degrees. We'll have more on the agricultural weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Time to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line with us. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, feeling a little better today, I suppose, maybe than you did yesterday, but it's been a pretty whipsaw kind of action over the last couple of days. What do you see?
Well, a couple things that happened. Monday night we did see the violent liquidation by commodity funds, and it all hinged on, if we have higher priced gasoline, $100 a barrel, and maybe somewhere in the $3.25 to $4 gasoline, it probably will create an economic double dip recession that nobody wants. So the big commodity funds unloaded big time and bullied the market sharply lower. The other thing that happened, of course, this morning, I affectionately call them my junk dealers. They're probably categorize them as millionaires, bottom pickers, don't overtrade, and they were in there putting orders in, on the major dip. The sharp pencil pushers in the business arena realized that there was some tremendous bargains in soybean oil and corn based on the renewable energy, and they were in there buying with armloads at a time. It's very profitable to take very cheap bean oil, turn it into biodiesel this summer, and the same way the blending factors with the ethanol into gasoline, also a very big important part of the deal. It's also known if we even have 14% unemployment, gasoline's still going to be and diesel fuel is an important item in the U.S. and the world. And, of course, there's big profit margins, and people with big pockets took full advantage of it. Basis levels on corn were better, and the market did close stronger today.
So you've outlined part of the fundamental picture, which is the energy side or direct energy side of commodities like corn and soybeans for ethanol and biodiesel. What about the livestock side? Can they manage their way through this process?
Well, they have buy-sell pads and futures accounts, too, and corn cribs and big granaries and big banks that can back them up. And, of course, some of the advisory services encourage them. And I'd also kind of say that, I've been one of the few that talked about the February break, and probably it's a good chance that we saw it over with, and hopefully we'll heal up. We will see the Ag Forum in Washington on Thursday, Friday, and of course everybody's on the pins and needles just to find out what their acreage numbers are and some of their preliminary yields are. But one of the things about it is the market has had some of the shine taken off because of bigger crop prospects in South America. We're still waiting for China. Maybe they did some major buying overnight. I'm not sure. But there's wheat demand, dry weather still in the western wheat belt. And as you add this up, there's still a lot of surprises between now and next harvest.
Are you thinking that producers, from what you've heard from them today, are satisfied at this point and stayed fairly calm over that sharp break yesterday?
Well, we did see one thing. We did see some people come in and buy protection on grain they had sold. One of the big myths is the crop insurance will take care of you on the pricing of grain. That's not exactly true. But we did see people lock in some price protection. That's been basically absent, at least in my commodity office here in Oakland, Illinois.
Any final word from you before I let you go?
Have a profitable day and a beautiful day in Oakland.
Hey, thank you so much, Paul. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
A couple of notes as we make our way through the closing market report this afternoon. My thanks to the folks in Hoopston at the American Legion this morning, the insurance agencies, for inviting me up to talk to them. I enjoyed myself. I hope they enjoyed themselves, too. It was fun to be there in Hoopston. Tonight, Dave Dickey and company will be in New Ross, Indiana, at the United Methodist Church, 6 o'clock, lights up for 6:30, Eastern time, of course, if you want to make it out there for their panel. I believe Chuck Shelby and Lee Goss and Jackie Bakes will be on that panel. And then on Friday of this week, I'll spend the day at the I Hotel with the Illinois Soybean Association, National Soybean Research Lab, and their Soybean Research Summit. Your opportunity, by the way, if you get registered, to come out and see how your checkoff dollars are spent and get up to speed with some of the best crop insurance information from Bruce Sherrick. Daryl Good will be there with Commodity Outlook at the noon hour. And then as we wrap up that day, a live Commodity Week panel, including Dan Zwicker, Pete Manhart, and Bill Mayer. That's at ilsoy.org to register. Here's Dave.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Charles Grassley, a staunch supporter of ethanol, says that he has no choice but to accept cuts in spending for programs that benefit the ethanol industry if the cuts are part of a larger package to trim the federal deficit. Grassley says, quote, "As significant as it is to me because I'm a great ethanol fan, I'd have to bite the bullet." Over the weekend, House Republicans voted to cut spending for the Environmental Protection Agency to implement the 15% ethanol waiver or to install blender pumps at least through the end of the current fiscal year. The blocking of the 15% ethanol waiver was offered by Representative John Sullivan, a Republican from Oklahoma, and passed 285 to 136. Republicans had 206 votes, along with 79 Democrats, to back the measure. CoBank, a key member of the U.S. Farm Credit System and major lender to agriculture, reported record earnings for 2010. Denver-based CoBank says that calendar year 2010 net income rose to $613.8 million, up 8.6% from 2009. A CoBank press release said that a key driver was higher seasonal financing requirements from agribusiness customers due to the sharp increase in prices for grains and other agricultural commodities that occurred in the latter part of 2010. CoBank is one of the five regional banks of the Farm Credit System. USDA is preparing to implement a rule from the 2008 Farm Bill that would turn over inspections of catfish to FSIS. The shift to FSIS is highly controversial because the FDA, a division of the Health and Human Services Department, is generally in charge of seafood inspections, while the Food Safety and Inspection Service inspects only meat, poultry, and egg products. The rule includes a 120-day public comment period ending June 24th on the definition of catfish. India's farm minister, citing high global prices, today called for wheat, rice, and sugar exports to resume. The call for exports comes as at least 100,000 trade unionists marched through the Indian capital today in a protest against high food prices and unemployment. India, the world's second largest producer of wheat and rice, has kept a tight control over grain exports since 2007, allowing only limited sales through diplomatic deals. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. And Friday, I'll emcee the Illinois Soybean Association National Soybean Research Lab Soybean Research Summit at the I Hotel right here in Urbana-Champaign. It's just south of the Assembly Hall. All day long, we'll talk to the researchers that are using your checkoff dollars to look into production, agriculture, and other issues. Your opportunity is free to come and talk to them. And along the way, I'll make sure that you hear about crop insurance from Bruce Sherrick in the morning, the commodity markets from Daryl Good in the afternoon, and then you'll get the opportunity, again, another opportunity, to see Commodity Week live at the I Hotel. It'll happen a bit earlier in the afternoon than normally. Usually we record at 4:30. I think we're doing this one at 3:45. Dan Zwicker, Pete Manhart, and Bill Mayer will be on hand for that edition of the Commodity Week program. But you need to be at the I Hotel, and you need to register today so that they know how many to feed. It's all free. It happens at the I Hotel this Friday all day long. Go to ilsoy.org. That's the Illinois Soybean Association's website. That's ilsoy.org, and register today. Or, of course, you can call the Illinois Soybean Association in Bloomington. Now up next, crop insurance with Gary Schnittke.
This is a Farm Doc podcast. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Gary Schnittke, farm management specialist, is here to talk about crop insurance and premiums for the coming year. In particular, he's taking a look at the GRIP premiums. Tell me what you've found so far, Gary.
Yeah, we calculated GRIP premiums for corn across all counties in Illinois, and what we did find was that they're higher this year than last year. The primary reason they're higher is because projected prices and volatilities are higher this year than last year, and that's resulted in higher premiums. And what we do see is a large variation in premiums across counties in Illinois.
But the expectation is that if you take GRIP, the payment will be larger than the premium?
Yeah, and we continue to see that over most of Illinois. GRIP, like all multi-peril products, are subsidized by the federal government, and if they're designed correctly, they should make higher payments out, or expected payments over time, than farmers pay in, and we continue to see that. Again, though, there's going to be higher premiums, and just to give you a feel for those premiums, we find that premiums in, for example, McLean County, Illinois, will be close to $100 an acre. So, and that's for a GRIP with a 90% coverage level and its highest protection level.
There can be a big difference between adjacent counties as well.
That's correct. And just to give you an example of that, we estimated GRIP premiums in McLean County, $102. Logan County, just adjacent to McLean County, has a $70 premium. So some farms, and my guess is Logan County farms, will find that more attractive than the McLean County farms.
You're right on the Farm Doc site that there are four basic reasons for higher premiums for the 2011 crop year.
Yep, and those four reasons are, first, higher rates. This year, RMA set GRIP premiums higher than they did last year. That accounted for only 2% of the increase in premiums. Most counties have higher expected yields than in 2011 than last year. That accounted for 4% of the increase in premiums between this year and last year. Higher projected prices, we're estimating that accounted for 76% of the increase in premium. And we're looking at right now a projected price in the $6 range compared to $3.99 last year. And we're also looking at higher volatilities, and that accounted for 22% of the premium increase.
You use the iFarm model to make your figures?
Yep, iFarm is we estimate both premiums and net cost for these products and publish those on the Farm Doc website, and we took those premiums and cost and put them in maps for this paper.
All right, then summarize what you've got in the paper itself.
All right, the paper itself, we show premiums for every county in Illinois for a GRIP HR product at a 90% coverage level, at its 100% protection level, or its maximum protection level. And we also calculate expected payments minus farmer paid premiums for every county in Illinois, and those range considerably across counties in Illinois.
It can be found on the Farm Doc site. Will the numbers be finalized March 1st if producers want to come in? Is that the way things change?
Yep. As soon as we reach March 1, all numbers will become final. We're putting those up ahead of time just to give people a feel for what we're looking at for the upcoming year.
And when they do that, they come into the FarmDoc website and hit which link?
Crop insurance.
All right, and so it's farmdoc.illinois.edu and then hit crop insurance over on the left-hand side?
That's correct.
Thank you so much. Gary Schnittke is a farm management specialist at the University of Illinois, part of the FarmDoc team. You can find it all at farmdoc.illinois.edu. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Matt Kunish of the Climbers facility that belongs to the Anderson in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line with us today to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. How's it going?
I want to know. It's going very well. I want to know how the swing yesterday and today affected, if at all, your basis levels.
It did not. It did not affect it at all, to be honest with you. Obviously, we're very cognizant. There was not a whole lot of selling yesterday. I think, for the most part, farmers were a little shocked at that, at the movement yesterday. Still looks like on the hedge fund positions that there's probably going to be more shakeout coming. The volatility has just kind of slowed up the buying, to be honest with you. So as far as the basis has stayed firm.
And when you look out into the countryside, and I know it's tight for both corn and beans, what do you see that's left available, and when will it get most tight? Are we going to dump most of it out here yet in the spring, or will there be much left in the bin for you to try to buy, that is, by the time we get to July and early August?
There won't be anything in August, I don't believe. There's just not enough carry to hold it there. July will be a tough month. June will be, I believe, at the latest, anybody's cleaning out their bins. May will, depending on the spring, April, May will be a heavy movement whenever they're not planning. For the most part, I have a lot of guys who are 80-90% moved already, cleaned up out of the old crop. If they're going to market anything in the old crop, they'll just play in a paper account now. But it'll be interesting, May, June, try and book everything for July. But I don't believe by August anybody has anything left.
So certainly in certain areas and maybe across the nation, May, June, July should be a really volatile month, especially if we have weather. But even if we don't have weather problems, correct?
Yes, it's going to be volatile on basis also.
All right, and then what are your bids for the day?
Delphi corn tonight, 688, Climbers corn, 684, and Delphi beans at 1305.
Anything else you want to add before I let you go for the day?
That is good for today.
All right, thanks so much, Matt.
Hey, have a good one.
Matt Kunish is with the Andersons Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana, talking to us here on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. In just a couple minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
It's National Banana Bread Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1884, Casimir Funk was born, a Polish-American biochemist. He came up with the word vitamine. He pursued the idea that diseases such as scurvy and rickets were essentially caused by a lack of vital substances in the diet. Vitamine was later changed to V-I-T-A-M-I-N, vitamin. In 1896, Leo Hirschfeld introduced a chewy candy at his small store in New York City. It was named after his 5-year-old daughter, Clara, whose nickname was Tootsie, Yes, that's the Tootsie Roll. By the way, during World War II, Tootsie Rolls were added to the rations of U.S. soldiers for their ability to give a quick energy burst. In 1944, Leo Baekeland was born. A Belgian-born U.S. industrial chemist, he invented the first thermosetting plastic, Bakelite, which did not soften when heated. The plastic was used for insulators as well as molded buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The contribution essentially ushered in the modern plastics industry. And in 1997, scientists in Scotland announced the first successful cloning of an adult mammal, Dolly, a sheep. Dolly lived for almost 7 years before being put down due to progressive lung disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City usually joins us on Wednesdays to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He is not available. We do have the weather forecast from the National Weather Service for this afternoon and several days into the future. It shows that this afternoon skies in the Urbana-Champaign area should be mostly cloudy, a high near 40 degrees. South-southeast winds at about 13 miles an hour, though gust as high as 16. And then tonight, a 50% chance of rainfall. Mostly cloudy this evening, a low of 34 degrees. South-southwest winds at 5 to 10. And then they'll become northwesterly. Winds could gust as high as 15 this evening. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of rain in the afternoon. Cloudy, a high near 45 for a Thursday. North-northwest winds at 5 to 14. They'll gust as high as 18. And tomorrow night, rain and snow likely. Becoming all snow after midnight, cloudy, a low of 29 degrees. North-northeast winds between 14 and 16 miles an hour, gusting as high as 21. Chance of precip tomorrow evening, 70%. Friday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 38 degrees. North-northeast winds at 8 to 15, they'll gust as high as 18. And Friday night, skies will be mostly cloudy, a low of 23 degrees. When we get to the extended forecast on Saturday, it shows a chance of rain and snow, cloudy, a high of 37 degrees. Chance of precip at 40%. Saturday night, a chance of snow, mostly cloudy, a low of 25 degrees. On Sunday, a chance of snow and rain, mostly cloudy, with a high near 43 degrees. Sunday night, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy, a low of 33. On Monday, a chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a high near 41 degrees. Monday night, partly cloudy, and a low of 22. Tuesday should be mostly sunny with a high near 41 degrees. Please do visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now remember, over the next several days, we have a number of events that WILL will be attending. I was this morning in Hoopston at a crop insurance event, thanks to all the folks that were there this morning. This evening, Dave Dickey will be at the United Methodist Church in New Ross, Indiana. That one kicks off at 6:30 for the Ag Panel. Jackie Bakes will be on hand, along with Lee Goss and Chuck Shelby in New Ross, Indiana, the United Methodist Church. And then on Friday, I'll be at the I Hotel with the Illinois Soybean Association for the Soybean Research Summit. You need to register for that one ahead of time, but the meal is free. It's a day-long event. I hope you can make it out there to the I Hotel. That's right here in Urbana-Champaign. Hit ilsoy.org. That's ilsoy.org, or call the Illinois Soybean Association in Bloomington Normal to make your registration and reservation today for the Soybean Research Summit. Have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.